old are mature enough to appreciate Christ's values. Notice that he wasn't concerned about furthering his own interests. He wasn't selfish. Someone has said that this is the most counterculture passage in all the Bible. And understandably so. For Christ dedicated himself to a downward slope. He descends a ladder to greatness. How opposite we all are. We are clutchers. We hold on to things until our knuckles turn white. Whether it's money, power, or fame, we hang on to these for all they're worth. Yet Christ deliberately let go. He chose downward mobility rather than upward mobility. Second, he emptied himself. This didn't mean that he emptied himself of his attributes. If so, he would no longer be God. It means that he voluntarily gave up the use of his attributes. He chose to live as man, though retaining those privileges and attributes. Remember that he wasn't fired. It wasn't as if God the Father told him to clean out his desk and be gone by Friday. He did all of this voluntarily, without coercion. Just as a millionaire might choose to live with the poor, going to work with them, so Christ, though he retained all of his prerogatives as deity, came to live with us.
Promise of the ages, foretold on holy pages. God's eternal Son, the blessed Holy One, took the form of man, leaving heaven's glory fair with a love beyond. Receive him, shouting out their grudge to a Roman judge, seeking to deceive him. Jesus was condemned to die, but he gave them no reply, willing to himself. Suffering such loss, nailed to the cross, losing heaven's favor. Our sins he bore forevermore, Christ became the Savior. By receiving him today, his debt need pay, for Jesus took our guilt away for eternity.
Thank you, King's Carolers. And in order that we might not perish, Christ descended to earth. We're tracing the steps, and it says in the book of Philippians, he took the form of a servant. He was in the form of God, yet he now took the form of a servant. In heaven, wherever he went, the angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy." And now he comes to serve others at the bottom of the ladder. Think of it. Servants don't give orders, they take them. Servants sleep on the floor, they ride donkeys, they do as they're told. Just think of the humiliation he must have experienced when on earth. Few honored him, most despised him and told him to get out of the way. The hands that created the sun, the moon, and the stars became the hands that washed the dirty feet of disciples. Those hands were eventually nailed to a crude cross. Fourth, we read that he was made in the likeness of men. He looked like a man. He traveled unrecognized and unappreciated. The fifth step downward is like the fourth. We read, he was in the appearance of a man. Sometimes preachers have given an illustration like this. Suppose there were ants that needed help, and the only way you could help them is to become an ant. In the very same way, we are told, Christ became man to help us. But it's a bad illustration for this reason. Ants and human beings are both created beings who share life on this planet. There is a much greater similarity between them than there would be between Christ as God and Christ as servant. Friend, tonight it's simply not possible for us to fathom the scope of the descent that Christ made. Next, Paul says he became obedient unto death. He wasn't murdered fighting. It wasn't as if he was overcome by enemy forces. He in effect said, I'm better than you are, but this time I'll let you win. And his obedience didn't end when things got difficult. He was obedient unto death. In fact, Paul says finally, even to the death of the cross. It wasn't a sanitary death. He didn't drink poison and then drift off into unconsciousness. He experienced the full impact of a painful, shameful death. Rejecting a drug that would have deadened the pain, he bore the full brunt of our sin with the highest degree of perception and intensity.
Just gain, I
I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and blood. He fixed his languid eyes on me as near.
Thank you, King's Carolers, and thank you, Glenn, for drawing us to the foot of the cross. Today we have many people writing books touting rags-to-riches stories, and these become bestsellers. But what we have before us is a riches-to-rags story. Those kinds of stories simply don't sell. Who in the business world of today would be interested in a story where someone who is the highest voluntarily chooses to become the lowest? Yet we read about Christ, "Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." There are several lessons we can learn from this powerful illustration of divine love and humility. First of all, humility is the basis of unity. Paul says in the passage, we should have the same mind one toward another. To do that, we need to give up our rights and to be selfless in our own experiences. Humility is also the basis of generosity. Only when we become truly humble before God are we willing to let go. We must give up that hold on what we possess. It's also the basis of exaltation. Whoso humbleth himself shall be exalted. For a moment, contrast Christ with Satan. Satan attempted to climb the ladder. Six times he says, "I will, I will." In contrast, Christ descended the ladder, saying, "I won't, I won't." And a drop of Satan's rebellion has touched every one of our hearts. If we desire to be Christ-like, we must be like him in the most fundamental way, the way of the cross. Blessing means bleeding. In a religious festival in Brazil, a missionary saw a sign above some religious symbols that read, "Cheap crosses." He thought, that's exactly like Christianity today. We like to have a cheap cross, but there is none. Bunyan wrote, "He that is low need fear no fall." Christ reminds us that the way up is down. An old godly writer named Flavel said, "When God intends to fill a soul, he first makes it empty. When he intends to enrich a soul, he first makes it poor. When he intends to exalt a soul, he first makes it aware of his own nothingness." Yes, the way up is down. Humility precedes exaltation. Obedience comes before blessing.
See?
Father, we pray that you will enable us to become like Christ in this most fundamental characteristic of humility. May we too be willing to go to the cross and die that we might live. Grant us this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels guide or hold you. With his sheep securely fold you.
Made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Yes, the Lord gave up a great deal to live among us. Only the love of God could have made such a demotion possible. But now he's highly exalted, and his name is above every name. Let us reverence his name, as do the angels, and thank God daily for the mystery of Christ's incarnation. We at Songs in the Night have a gift for you, a complimentary printed copy of Pastor Lutzer's comments this evening. This gift is yours just by asking for it. Write to us at Songs in the Night, Moody Church, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you write, be sure to give us your name and address and mention the title, The Humility of Christ, in your letter. We thank the many of you who support Songs in the Night, as this helps us to keep this encouragement coming in the months ahead. Our address, once again, is Songs in the Night, Moody Church, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Bringing tonight's message was our pastor here at the Moody Church, Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Glenn Jorian was our soloist, along with the King's Carolers, Myrna White, Cheryl Fornelli, Joanna Hettinga, and Marcia Twaddell. John Innes was at the keyboards, and this is Ted Seeley, hoping you'll tune in again next week for more Songs in the Night.
Songs in the Night.